Scripture reading this morning is out of the book of Ephesians. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, it'll be up here on the screen. And I'll give you a chance to find it there as we begin verse by verse this week. Last week we surveyed Ephesians. Today we begin our study. There should be some music playing, I think. Eventually it'll come up. Got to have the music in the background. Oh, just don't go to sleep, okay? Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, who, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. Wow, what a great passage. Ephesians 1. Well, we dive into this great study today, verse by verse in Ephesians. And I trust it'll be a great blessing to your heart. Father, speak to us as we read and discuss your very words from your heart. In Christ's name, amen. You know I can't get past a sermon without going back to my airport days, right? Just can't help it. You know, one of the tenants that we had at the airport where I worked at, his name was Bernie Little. Bernie Little owned the Miss Budweiser hydroplane racing boat, used to come to Evansville all the time. And Bernie had jets there at our airport. He had a helicopter. In fact, you and I drive our cars to work and back. He flew his helicopter from work and back. Bernie was a very wealthy man who married into the Bush family. August Bush used to come all the time. He had rented a home there in Lakeland, so he would come when the winters came. And so I got to meet him, and I used to get to drive. Well, that was a great sentence. I used to drive Bernie's Rolls Royce. You really feel like you're something when you're driving a Rolls Royce. And then August Bush had a Bentley. I got to drive the Bentley. And I loved it when Bernie came into the airport because I was always guaranteed a good tip. Now, a Bible college student making $4 an hour needed a good tip, right? One day I was washing the Rolls Royce, and Bernie showed up in his helicopter and was going to drive his Rolls Royce somewhere, and it had white walls, and they were just dirty and black. And he talked like this. He said, I got to go. I said, yeah, but I got to get these white walls done. So I sprayed the white wall, and I cleaned a little bit, and he goes, that looks pretty good. Keep going. So I cleaned all the tires as fast as I could. I think he handed me a 20. Now, a 20 to me was like a $200 bill, right? Awesome. Bernie was wealthy. But there came a time when Bernie started buying jet after jet after helicopter, these junky old airplanes and helicopters, and spending all kinds of money to gut them and put new engines on them and refurbish them. And one of their pilots came and told me one day, I said, what's going on? He said his sons and family, his children, began arguing about their inheritance. So Bernie just said, okay, I'll just start spending it. Finally, he stopped, but it was interesting just to watch all this junk show up. Okay, I'll just spend it. His children were consumed with, what are we going to get when dad dies? I knew all his children as well. Do you know God the Father is consumed with our inheritance? We rarely talk about it in those terms. He desires for his children to have an inheritance which is beyond description. And usually, when do you get your inheritance? When a death has occurred. A death occurred so we could get our inheritance. In the Old Testament, the inheritance was what? Abraham, I am giving you the promised land. This is your inheritance. Although you're not going to get any bit of it, I'm giving it to somebody way out here, Hebrews talks about. But that is your inheritance. In the New Testament, the inheritance transcends that which is a shadow in the Old Testament, to our salvation, to our eternal life. In fact, listen to Acts 20:32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In other words, all those who are saved. 1 Peter 1:4, we are through Jesus given an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. The word kept is a Greek word, to guard. So we are to have this wonderful inheritance. In fact, if you're reading through the Bible, you read in Mark 10 this week where Jesus said that if you follow me, I will give to you all kinds of things along with persecution. And in the end of the age, I will give you eternal life. What an inheritance. We never die. Now, these old bodies are getting old, aren't they? And they're getting creaky. Is that the right word? You know, some of you come in here with your, right here, do you see this? These little Cadillacs right here, so you don't fall down, so I don't have to visit in the hospital. But the real you that's inside the shell God gives you will live forever and ever. That's the inheritance God so longs to give to us. Inheritance, and inheritance is a gift God gives to his chosen that they could never earn on his own. And chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, really 3 to 14, is talking about the inheritance. First of all, verses 3 to 6, we are chosen for this inheritance. Chosen for it. And this is the emphasis on God the Father. Our spiritual wealth and our position that God gives us is all his idea. This is all God the Father's idea, this amazing blessing. Look at verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is God's idea, the Father's idea, to give us spiritual wealth beyond human description ever. Paul went to heaven, remember that, in Corinthians? And he came back and he said, I can't even describe it. I'm speechless. People today, so-called, die and go to heaven. They write books and make thousands and millions. Paul actually went there and he said, I'm speechless. No word can actually describe this amazing inheritance, this amazing spiritual wealth that God gives to us. And it's all God's idea. Not my idea, not your idea. God the Father said, I want to give my children an inheritance. Wow. Look at verse 3 again. He's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Do you ever find yourself getting consumed with earthly things? It's easy to do, isn't it? We could just go down the list, couldn't we? Money, investments, car, job, hobbies, whatever, material possessions. It's so easy to get gripped with earthly things. Paul says, bless God, praise God. He has blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And it's all in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is mentioned or referenced 16 times in these 14 verses. It's all in Jesus. It's all in Jesus. In other words, God made sure that a heavenly influence impacted your life if you're his child. I think that's neat. A heavenly influence comes in and grips your heart, grips your life. It makes an impact on you, and we are changed. Paul put it this way in Corinthians, behold, every man in Christ is a new what? Creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. There's an actual spiritual impact. And God the Father says, I choose you. But notice verse 3 to have this blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Every. The Greek word is the word pas, P-A-S, we would say. It means each particular point that makes up the whole. I pulled out my alternator this week, which is really the easiest part I've ever changed in my car. My alternator died, my battery died, my starter died. Don't you love your cars? They just say, I'm going to get you. But I took out parts that made up the whole. That's what this means. God says, I have chosen you, I have blessed you, I have given you every single part you need to make up the whole of what I want you to have. The spiritual inheritance, this wonderful blessing that God has given to us. Peter put it this way, that we have not had anything left out for life and godliness. God said, I am giving you everything you need. So if you're here today and you're saying, I can't overcome this, I can't overcome this, I'm defeated by this, you're lying and you're not grabbing what God gave you in this world of darkness that He wants you to have. I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You don't have to do anything else to earn it. Because He has blessed you as a child of God with every single thing you need. And it's all God's idea. Look at verse 4. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. So God, before He ever created the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth, called your name today if you're a child of God. Before anything was ever created, before you could sin, before you could do any good even, God called out your name when there was only God, Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. And I don't know when He created the angels, but sometime before He created the heavens and the earth, Paul says, this is who you are. He chose you in Him. Wow. All of us have been on the playground at school, right? At least us guys. When they're picking up sides for the team. And they pick everybody, and there's like two guys left, and you feel horrible. Come on, pick me. If you're the last guy picked, it's like your life ends that moment. It's over. Oh, God picked you, chose you, not because of anything you did, because you weren't around yet. 1 Corinthians, or Romans 9 tells us it's not because you're good, it wasn't because you're bad, just out of God's love. He chose you. So before Genesis 1:1, He called your name. And He desires to give us an inheritance. And notice how He looks at us here in verse number 4. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him, period. In other words, God's decision is to look at us as being absolutely perfect. Now, I know you, and you know me, and you all ain't perfect. All right, get it back to me. Neither are you. All right, yeah. So what does God do here? He blesses us in Jesus Christ. He chose us, and because of His Son, which is the next point, we'll get to that, He looks at us now as holy and blameless. And some people get up every day, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. I look at my past, I can't get rid of my past. I messed up here, I messed up there. And we put that U-Haul on us and we walk around everything, woe is me, woe is me. And God says, no, in Christ I am looking at you perfect and blameless because God the Father now looks at you and me if you're His child through the shed blood of His Son. That's why He chose us. Wow. Because I got news for you. See, my wife's in the nursery. I am perfect. No. I sin every day when I put my head on a pillow every night. How could you choose me? How could you choose me? Lord, what love. I stand amazed in the presence. Didn't we just sing that? Of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how He could love me. Is that the word? A sinner condemned unclean? I just find this the most wonderful truth that before he ever said sun, moon, and stars, and water, and birds, and dinosaurs, and all that, He called my name. And He called your name if you're His child. And if you don't know if you're your child, trust Him today. And you can say, He called my name. But notice verse 5. He predestined us. In love, He predestined us. That's a big word that simply means He just determined His plan. And that plan is carried out. And notice, it's in love. In love, He predestined us. He didn't pick us and choose our life to have His inheritance because we're good, we're great, we're smart, we're beautiful, we're handsome, we're tall, dark, and handsome. You know, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? You know, just because my wife is the most blessed wife to have, you know, we know better than that. I wore a mask for 10 years. No, yeah. In love. Do you ever look at some people and go, I could never love them? Come on. Then you look in the mirror and go, in love. God the Father, holy, perfect, pure as pure can be, looks at us sinners and says, I love you. Isn't that amazing? So therefore, I am choosing your life to be my own, to receive the inheritance. And then look in the rest of verse 5. Not only did He choose and predestine us, He also adopted us as His Son, again, through Jesus Christ, all according to the purpose of His will. He adopted us. Did you ever look at some people and go, well, wouldn't it be great to be a part of their family? You know? Here comes my gazillionaire at the airport. Bernie, would you mind adopting me? I never said that or thought that, but sometimes you might look at people and go, wow, wouldn't it be nice to have what they have? Wouldn't it be nice to drive to Target in a Rolls Royce? Wouldn't it be nice to, money's no object, whatever you needed, you just went in and said, I'll take the best. Like the guy in Jurassic Park, spared no expense. Right? You ever tempted sometimes to forget what you have? And what does Paul remind us here? He chose you. He determined your life, but He adopted you into His family. Some people who are adopted, maybe some of you here are adopted. I know that can be a hard thing, but sometimes I think we miss the act of love that somebody came to you, and for whatever reason, you were placed out of your birth family. And somebody came and said, oh, I will love you. And I will hold you in my arms. And you are my son. And you are my daughter. Woo, right? Wow. What love. Even though there may have been rejection for whatever reason, God took us, sinners, ugly, dirty, filthy, and He adopted us and said, you are now in my family. Woo-hoo-hoo. We have a mansion greater than any mansion in any place in America or anywhere else. You ever watch those shows on TV where they take these people and they show them three homes? And they say, our budget's $4 million. And I'm saying, boy, I feel sorry for you. You ever see that? And then they go, they look at this one, boy, we like this one, but it's a little out of our budget. Boy, I feel sorry for you. But then these homes are amazing. Just absolutely amazing. Hey, folks, we have an inheritance that's far beyond any earthly mansion that anybody could have. Because God said, I am picking you, predestining your life, and I am adopting you. You're my son, you're my daughter. So when you bow your knee or bow your head and get on your knees and you pray to God, you are praying to Abba, Father. You are coming to God, and sometimes we come to God and we confess our sin and we don't know how He could love us because we fail, we fail, we fail. But we are coming to our daddy. Our mommy. Our daddy. And if you're a dad, if your kids ever come up to you and say, daddy, it's just like, oh, that's it. What do you want? Right? He adopted. And it's always in Christ. Look at the last verse in verse 6, or in this section. It's all to the praise of His glorious grace. It's all for Him, not us. But boy, are we blessed. Which with He has blessed us in the Beloved. You can't see it in the English, but the word blessed is karatao, which comes from the word charis, which is grace. He has graced us in the Beloved, which is Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. So he has chosen us to be a part of his family to get the inheritance. It's all because of grace. But secondly, he had to qualify us for the inheritance. If you watch NASCAR, you watch qualifying. All the cars get out there and see what place you are because of your performance. You had to qualify. There were some races I'd been in high school where the team would qualify, depending on what spot you got, and you could qualify also as an individual to move on to the next round. All of the qualifying is based on your performance. But in spiritually, that doesn't work. In fact, I looked up the definition for qualified. Having qualities, accomplishments that fit a person for some office or function. So God says, I needed to qualify you to get the inheritance. Here is how I qualify you. Here is how you become qualified to have all that I want to get you. And by the way, it's not anything you did or I did. It's all God the Son. Look at verse 7. First of all, there was a bloody murder. A bloody murder. In him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. There was a sacrifice. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for you and me. Why? Because he loved us. Knowing that we're sinners. Knowing we could not be qualified on our own. There was a bloody murder and his name was Jesus, so that God the Father, through Jesus, could purchase us from the slavery of sin. It's called redemption. He could not just let us walk into heaven without being forgiven. There had to be a qualification. Somebody had to pay the price for your sin. Did you ever get a spanking when you were a kid? Did you have a big wooden paddle in your closet like we had at our house? Because there had to be a payment for the sin. God the Father knew that our payment wasn't enough, so instead of spanking you and me, instead of killing you and me, he killed his Son. And Acts says that the Romans were against him, the Gentiles were against him, the Jews were against him, Pontius Pilate was against him, Herod was against him. All by God's plan, though, God killed his Son, even though human agents were guilty as well. Whew, isn't that amazing? Would you kill your Son for me? Would you put your Son on a cross? Would you have him go to 3 separate trials, I think it was, be declared innocent in every trial and still be pushed further along, to be beaten and whipped, a crown of thorns, nails in his hands and feet, a spear in his side, laughed at, spit upon, ridiculed, in most extreme agony ever? Would you ever send your Son for me? You would not. Don't tell me you would, because I wouldn't give you mine. Right? Let's be honest, right? But God the Father loved us so much, gave us his Son. And God the Father in heaven watched it all happen in a moment's notice, could have sent 10,000 angels, 12,000 angels. Isn't it amazing? There was a bloody murder to qualify us. But it doesn't stop there in verse 7. Not only do we have a purchasing through Jesus' blood, we have the forgiveness of our trespasses. The Greek word aphesis, which means to send away, to get rid of, a pardoning. You know, whenever a president leaves office, they always seem to pardon a ton of people. You know, who can I let go? Well, don't let them go in my neighborhood, okay? Who can I let go? And maybe some should, I don't really know, but that's what the word means. We have a pardoning, a sending away, a releasing from our obligation or debt that we owe God the Father that we could not pay. He forgave us. And I think forgiveness is hard for us to grasp because we have such a hard time forgiving others, right? Would you admit? Somebody's hurt us, cut us, betrayed us, lied about us. And we've done all that to God, haven't we not? But he purchases us through this bloody murder. And he says, yeah, you failed me. You broke my heart. You lied about me, you did this, 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 and this, but you have come to my Son's cross. I let it go. I forgive you. I forgive you. And forgiveness isn't based on a feeling or emotions. It's based on a promise that God says, I will give you because of what my Son did for you. That's how we stand in the perfect state of verse 4, holy and blameless. We're redeemed and we're forgiven. Wow. Which qualifies us for the inheritance. So the question for you today is, are you forgiven? Have you come to the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the cross, as a sinner, repented of your sin, and realized Jesus is King and Lord and Savior, and He's your only hope? Are you forgiven? So the question for believers today, if you've done that, is, are you embracing the forgiveness God gave you, or are you one that likes to keep your past close by? I know a lot of people who keep their past really close. They go on a 10-mile run, they look around, oh good, it's still here. And doesn't Satan like to use that to dog us? I think he does. God says, I forgive you, I've released you. My son forgave you, came to the cross. Satan says, he didn't forgive you. How could God forgive you, right? Ron, especially Ron. Satan says, Ron, Jesus can't forgive you. I know what you did March the 7th, 1987. Oh, yeah. Ron's getting out of his, oh, my heart, what does Pastor Tim know? Send me an email and tell me. Isn't that what Satan does? Oh, yeah. Jesus just puts his hand out. No, I died for you. I rose today. How many of us are just carrying around our past when God says, I qualified you, I forgave you in my son? And notice the rest of verse 7. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, not out of. If I had $5 billion and I started giving it to others, eventually what's going to happen to my $5 billion? Going to run out. Might take me a while, but I'm going to run out. Because if I'm giving out of my $5 billion, eventually I'm going to run out. But if I can give according to it, I will never run out. That's what Paul says. Jesus and God the Father is full of the riches of his grace, and he gives us forgiveness and redemption. And it says right there in verse 7, the riches of his grace according to, not out of, equal to grace. You can never come to the cross and say, I've done too much, because his grace is always according to his grace, which is infinite. Wow. He qualified you. And notice verse 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. He lavished it upon us. It means overabundantly. He gave and he gave and he gave. Sometimes Kelly will dish out food for me in a plate. And I'll say, I can't eat that much. Look at me. I just can't eat that much, you know. But she lavishes it out. Do you think she's trying to fatten me up? Just can't. I got a small stomach. Just can't eat that much at one time. I can eat all day, but I can't eat that much. It's over and abundant. Over and abundant. He lavished us. This is an amazing gift in this fight against darkness that God has made us his child, and he has given us this supernatural unveiling, because look, in wisdom and insight, he made known to us, verse 9, the mystery of his will, all according to his purpose, again, he set forth in Christ. And verse 10 and 11 says that this day is coming as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Wow. It's all in Jesus. He gives us this wisdom and this insight of being able to know him as our Lord and Savior. And it's all about Jesus Christ. John MacArthur put it this way, Jesus Christ is the goal of history, which finds its resolution in him. The paradise lost in Adam is restored in Christ. But notice verse 11 and 12. Here it is again. In him we have obtained an inheritance. He qualified us through the bloody murder, his resurrection, to get this wonderful inheritance, so that when you take your last breath, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I was with a man last night who had great fears, felt his life was over, done. And thankfully he was able to calm him down. An inheritance when our breath goes out. And boy, an inheritance. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll snatch you and I'll take you to be with me forever and ever and ever and ever. in him, Jesus, we were qualified. We obtained this inheritance, having been, past tense, predestined, again, according to the purpose of him who works all things out according to his own will. Wow. So we've been chosen by the Father, guaranteed the inheritance by the Spirit, and the last thing, okay, I'll turn to my notes, guaranteed for the inheritance. Aren't you glad for that? Because we might have a God that starts buying a bunch of airplanes, spending all our inheritance. You get to heaven and you walk up and say, Lord, where's the mansion? I had to sell it. No, it's a promise. God wants us to know as we fight against Satan, as we'll get to in Ephesians 6, in this world of darkness, we are his children, and what we have is absolutely guaranteed, and this is the Holy Spirit of God. Look at verse 13. In him, Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, there it is again, the two things. You have to hear the truth and you have to believe the truth, repentance and faith. When you did that, Paul said, something amazing happened that you didn't even know happened. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You believed in him. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. God the Spirit sealed you. Back when I was working in a pharmaceutical warehouse, I came in one night and all of the Tylenol was gone off of my shelf. That was in my section. I was a Tylenol man. And it was on the fast move section, and it was just like section after section of red bottles or the boxes, Tylenol extra strength, Tylenol regular strength, Tylenol this, Tylenol that. I came in one night and they were all gone. Remember why? They were laced with something, so they recall all of them. I said, wow, my shelves look horrible. Do you know why everything you buy now is sealed? Because of that act of the Tylenol. Don't you love it as you get older? You just can't open those things. My arthritis, I just can't open it. So I get out a big knife and I just poke down in that thing and rip it apart. You know, sometimes they're just messing with us, aren't they? They're just messing with us. You got to get through like six things and, you know, get through five Doberman pinchers to finally open up the can of oil. Right? Well, it's sealed to protect what the owner put in the bottle. Back in Paul's day, if a king or something sent you a letter, they would get out their signet ring and the wax, and they would put the letter in the envelope, and they would put the wax there, drip it, and they would seal it, which signified ownership, and I am guaranteeing what's inside the letter. I wrote it. I will back it. Whoa. Let's read that verse again. When God opened your heart, and you heard the word of the gospel. Jesus was, he died, he was buried, he rose again. You repented and trusted him in faith. Something amazing happened. God took his seal by the Holy Spirit of God and he put it inside that bottle, that envelope, whatever, and he stamped it with his name and his power and his ownership, and you will never, ever, ever, ever lose it. He will never go against his promise. You will always be forgiven. You will always be redeemed. You will always be saved. It is your promise. He sealed you. Wow. I thought you'd all do like a five flips out of your chair and yell, hallelujah. Let's sing again, preacher. You can do that at home. You're on a couch. That way if you don't make the turn and you fall, you won't quite break your neck. You know, so, wow. Guaranteed seal. As God's child, he has marked you. Isn't that amazing? So when you go to work tomorrow, you're his. Is. When you get a note that your cousin fell and broke her neck and died, she's still his. When your mother passes away, or your father, or you lose your job, or whatever comes your way, your health begins to fail, someone breaks your heart, whatever it is, you are his. Whoa, right? I'm going to get you to do something crazy here in a minute, right? No. It always hurts my gut when I do that. Sometimes, folks, that's all we have, is it not? You bow your head and say, thank you that I am yours. I'm yours. Sealed. Sealed. With the promised Holy Spirit, when we stumble, when we fall, when we break down, when we sin, when we see how far we are in practice from who we are in chapter 1, If you're truly his child, he says, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. Woo! That's awesome. Awesome. When the world around us grows more evil and turning away from God, it's a horrible place we live in, is it not? It's horrible. Just go to the mall and look around you. Go to school. Thank God he raises up, saves people, and there's a remnant. This is a horrible world we live in. It's sinking. The world, it's sinking, right? It's going to keep sinking. He's still yours. Still his. When we grow old and we know death is nearer than before. And by the way, you can be young and death can be nearer than before, right? You're his. When your whole world falls apart, the old hymn, I am his and he is mine. But Paul says it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 14. Who, goes back to verse 13, the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee of our what? Our inheritance. We are sealed, and that also is an absolute arabone, is the Greek word, guarantee. It's like earnest money. When you buy a house or something, you give earnest money, so buyer number two can't come along and say, you know what, I like the house, I think I'll give you this much more than the other guy. No, we got his earnest money. It's a down payment. In Bible times, it was also used, and even in our times, as an engagement ring. Listen, girl, you're mine, and here's the ring to prove it, all right? That's my down payment. Well, that's not very romantic, is it? But you get the idea, you know? And what you need to do, guys, is super glue that ring on there. That way, they're really stuck with you. That's the word. It's an engagement ring. It's a down payment. So not only are we sealed and absolute secure, he goes on and says, it's an absolute guarantee of eternal life in the ages to come, glory in heaven, no more sin, no more heartache, no more physical problems, no more mess ups, perfect eternal life. And notice it's an until what? We acquire possession of it. What's the it? Our inheritance. You know what that means? One day we get it. One day we will actually realize heaven and Jesus and glory. One day. One day. Because it has been guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Well, let's land the plane here. You know what's interesting in these verses? There are no commands. None. There's no do this, do this, do this, do this, nothing. Isn't that interesting? Why do you think that is? What do you think is the response Paul wants to get out of God's church? I can think of one thing. Just praise and worship and adoration. Falling on our knees. Wow. You chose me. You qualified me through a bloody murder. And you sealed me with the Spirit of God. One day I will stand in your presence, even though I never deserve it. Revelation 21 talks about this. Amazing verses. I saw a new heaven, new earth. First heaven, first earth passed away. There was no more sea, which is probably a reference to sin and evil. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the inheritance. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them as their God. Didn't I just say that? We are his. He is ours. That's the goal. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes and death shall be no more. There'll be no mourning and no crying and no pain for the former things are gone. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Write this stuff down. It is done. Jesus, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give the spring of water of life without payment because the bloody murder paid for it. The one who conquers will have this heritage. Same idea, inheritance. And I will be his God and he will be my son. Wow. Remember Matthew 25? And Jesus is picturing the end times and he says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you. Wow, amazing. In Romans 8, Paul put it this way, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Who inherits everything? The heir. H-E-I-R. Wow. That's what awaits us. But if you don't know Jesus today, verse 8 in Revelation 21 says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. That's the second death. Why? Because you're not qualified. Because you've rejected the Son's qualification through that bloody murder. And it's interesting, in Ephesians 5, Paul talks about this very thing, which we'll get to. You may be sure of this. Everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Those are present tense. People can commit those sins, but they can't live in them. It proves they're not God's child. So what's our response today? Let me just read this verse. See, there's no commands. There's no go out and do this or do that. I think it's just worship for what God has done for us. What did they do in heaven? Revelation 5. They all said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, that bloody murder, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and in the sea and everybody saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And God says, that's what I also give to my children. Father, before we even get into Satan's attacks on us, you wanted us to know this is who you are as my child. And Mark, Jesus, you said, you bless us, but also with persecutions. And we need to know we are chosen, we are purchased, we are sealed. We are yours, all because of grace. So Lord, for the downcast today and the downtrodden, for the confused, for the hurting, for the tired, for the weak, for the struggling, for those that know you as Savior, but they're struggling today, I pray the Spirit of God would help each and every one to realize, wow, I have an inheritance waiting me that is far beyond any pain, trial, suffering, and persecution I could ever face on this old earth. And I place my hope in you. Lord, if there is one or two or more here that you have not opened their heart to come to the cross, they don't have an inheritance. I pray the Spirit of God would open their heart and help them to see what they cannot see. All that you would love to give them, but you must open their heart. So God, as we sing, I pray that you would work mightily in our hearts today. Draw us to worship. Draw us to praise. Draw us to conviction of sin. Draw us to just experiencing a thrill of worship for you. Or maybe some. Bring and adopt into your family for the very first time. In Christ's name.